91.3 WLRN presents South Florida Arts Beat. Hello, Paul Leary guest hosting for Ed Bell today. We welcome Brian Dersom of the Low Art Museum. He'll describe their latest exhibition, Excavating Egypt, with great discoveries from the Petrie Museum of Egyptian Archaeology, plus the new Paley Pavilion for Contemporary Glass and Studio Arts. It's the 28th anniversary of Sunday Afternoons of Music and the 23rd for the Music for Children series. Doreen Marks talks about decades of divine music productions. Timothy Haskell brings New York's record-breaking haunted house, Nightmare Ghost Stories, to the Windward District here in Miami. Our calendar is filled with exciting Florida Keys events from Andy Newman. And humorous Buzz Fleischman checks in with the Radio Buzz. Please stay with us. South Florida Arts Beat will continue after these news updates from NPR and the Miami Herald. Welcome back to South Florida Arts Beat. I'm Paul Leary, sitting in for Ed Bell. Stay with us. Coming up later in the program, we'll speak with Doreen Marks of Sunday Afternoons of Music, and also producer Timmy Haskell has a very special Nightmare Ghost Stories for us to hear about. We're joined now by Brian Dersom. He is the director and chief curator of the Low Art Museum. He joins us today to talk about several exciting events that are happening at the Low Art Museum. How are you, and welcome, Brian.
Thank you, Paul. I'm very well.
We got this information of this great new exhibit called the Egyptian Discoveries.
Excavating Ancient Egypt, yeah.
That's okay. What it is, Excavating Egypt, the great discoveries from the Petrie Museum of Egyptian Archaeology. Mm-hmm. And tell us a little bit about how this came to be at the Low Art Museum.
Well, as you probably are aware, museums operate at least 3 years in advance, usually with exhibitions. And I happened to be in Atlanta with a colleague of mine from the University of Miami, Dr. David Graff, who is a bona fide archaeologist. And we went to Emory. That wasn't the initial plan for the tour. We were going up there to visit a donor. But we went there because we had a lot of extra time before the plane flight. And there was this wonderful show. And I was somewhat familiar with the Petrie. David certainly was very familiar with it. And we went through and we both looked at each other and said, wouldn't this be a great show for Miami? Wouldn't this be a great show for our students? And I said, yes, let's find out if it's available. And they told us at first, no, it was going back to London. And about 6 months later, they called us and said, by the way, the show is available. Would you like to do it? And we said, you know, of course we want to do it. And it's an area that the museum has an interest in. We don't particularly collect a lot of Egyptian pieces. We collect largely Greco-Roman material. But I thought it would be an interesting exhibition for us to do, and I thought people would like it.
Well, there is a fascination with Egyptian archaeology. There just seems to be a continuing fascination. Mm-hmm. And particularly about this exhibit, what are some of the key points that people would love to come and see?
Well, the material, Flinders Petrie, I love the name, actually was one of the early archaeologists who excavated not the way they were doing prior to the 1870s, where they just simply shoveled into the ground and dug things up. Mm. He actually began excavating by levels so that he was able to identify specific periods of time. So a piece of pottery, obviously, above another pottery would be older or would be newer than the one below. And he and Heinrich Schliemann, of Troy fame, were the two archaeologists of the 19th century who really invented this process. And what's interesting, of course, is that people do have this great fascination of these things. It's been said that Petrie was the character Indiana Jones was inspired by Petrie.
Oh, really?
I tend to doubt that, but anyway, that's what someone said. It's more likely those out there who will read murder mysteries and are familiar with Elizabeth Peters and her Amelia Peabody series would probably recognize in Amelia Peabody one of the archaeologist supporters of Petrie, Amelia Edwards. And the character of Emerson, her husband, was probably modeled after Petrie, more than likely. So those things are kind of interesting. And but the exhibition itself has a wide range of material that covers a broad chronological period, from Old Kingdom through Middle Kingdom, even, you know, people talk about King Tut and that particular family. They're included in this exhibition. It goes all the way really through the Ptolemaic period, which really ends with in 33 BCE with essential conquest of Egypt by Augustus Caesar.
And so, what kinds of what kinds of things do you have on display? I mean, are there things that you haven't seen in the U.S. before?
None of this material has ever come to the United States.
Nice.
And they also brought in two coffins from a museum in Lancashire. And this was sort of a last minute addition. But it's a wonderful example of mummification and how mummification was done. We went to books. We found, actually my associate did, we found photographs of the actual mummification process that was shown on the walls of tombs, and we blew them up. We put them up there for people. On September 11th, weather permitting, we are bringing in Sue D'Aria from who's coming in to talk about mummies. And, we're hoping that's going to happen because I think that would be really – and we have a lot of people who are going to come to that. We've done some National Geographic movies on excavating Egypt. They've been very, very well attended. Somewhat surprising to me that people would show up at 5:30 in the afternoon to see a movie on ancient Egypt, on excavating Egypt. But it's been very, very good.
Well, and I think that the Egyptian curators are pretty particular about where things go and who gets what. So mm-hmm. the fact that the Low Art Museum here in Miami is able to display some of these great treasures mm-hmm. is truly a gift to us to be able to check that out.
Yes, they were very, very good about it. And we did a complimentary exhibition called on Egyptian photography, which is called Eternal Egypt. And it's roughly 70 of our photographs, vintage photographs in many cases. Some of them were photographs that were reproduced in portfolios by the Oriental Institute at the University of Chicago. Mm. And we also were able to put our few holdings of Egyptian art. We don't have a lot, but we do have some rather important pieces, which most people would never know we had, and they stay in storage largely. But they were put out along with this show, so we have these two exhibitions which look very, very nice together.
So talk to us a little bit about, we have the great Paley
yes.
art glass exhibit as well.
Mern and Sheldon Paley are alums of the University of Miami, and they decided about 4 years ago, I'd say, to very generously donate their collection to the museum. And along with the collection, they donated the building. They essentially paid for much of the building. We raised some money for it. And they're also going to give an endowment to maintain it. It includes, it's contemporary, it's modern and contemporary. It's actually contemporary glass. Mm. And it also, though, covers more than glass. We do have some fiber in there. We also have ceramics. And they have a great interest as well in ceramics, glass and ceramics, but their primary interest is glass. And so that's what's in the new pavilion, and it's really quite a knockout space. It's really very beautiful.
So we have the Excavating Egypt, Great Discoveries from the Petrie Museum of Egyptian Archaeology. That is running through November the 2nd.
That's correct.
Do you have any chance of extending that? Or
no, because we have we have exhibitions right after that.
Coming in right yeah. after it. And what about the glassworks? Is that going to be running?
That's actually a permanent installation. Piece. So that will be up, and people can come by and enjoy it anytime they really wish to. And on the idea of archaeology, just to sort of make a plug here,
yeah.
we are continuing the idea. The museum is going to be doing exhibitions, we hope, like this whenever we can possibly afford it. We're doing an exhibition next year, the October 31st to January 24th. Of 09 called Tree of Paradise, which is Jewish mosaics from the Roman Empire. And it really shows synagogues that have been excavated, the mosaics that have been brought out of synagogues. It will truly be a beautiful, beautiful exhibition, quite different than the Egyptian show, but extremely nice. And it's organized by the Brooklyn Museum. So again, we partnered with Brooklyn and working on this.
Well, we appreciate the time that you always come in to spend with us here on South Florida Arts Beat. And of course, for information, they have a great website. It is lowmuseum.org, mm-hmm. and you can find out all the dates. And do you have some photographs of the Egyptian exhibit?
There are some online, yes.
Great. We'll have to check that out. This This exhibit is running through November the 2nd. And thank you, Brian Dersom, the Director and Chief Curator of the Lowe Art Museum, for joining us on South Florida Artsbeat.
Thank you, Paul. My pleasure.
Stay with us. There's more to come on South Florida Artsbeat. Up next, Doreen Marks talks about Sunday afternoons of music. Stay with us.
At 16 minutes past one, you're listening to South Florida Arts Beat here on 91.3 WLRN, South Florida's NPR news station. Good afternoon. Currently 87 degrees with a lot of cloud cover, a 20% chance of rain in the forecast for this afternoon. Into tonight, partly cloudy with overnight lows in the mid to upper 70s, but no rain in the forecast right now for tonight.
The University of Miami's Jerry Herman Ring Theater is now offering season tickets for all five plays in its upcoming season beginning October 1st. The season opens with the musical Cabaret and ends with Jerry Herman's Hello, Dolly! In April. Other plays include Shakespeare's comedy The Winter's Tale, the family musical You're a Good Man, Charlie Brown, and the off-Broadway comedy Dog Sees God. Information at 305-284-3355 or online at miami.edu/ring.
And we welcome back Doreen Marks, executive producer of Sunday Afternoons of Music, to South Florida Arts Beat. How are you, Doreen?
I'm really very well indeed this beautiful afternoon. How are you?
We're doing well. Great. You've got, this is the 28th season of your concert series. We are so excited about it. And, you know, we always love having you here in South Florida Arts Beat. Tell us what we have in store, because it is an exciting season.
Well, you know what? The most exciting season about it is that most of these people have never appeared on Sunday Afternoons of Music before, except Iglesias Gutierrez, who, when she was a young student. But these are all brand new people, and lots of them, they're all quite young, in their early 20s. So it's going to be a very energizing, very exciting kind of season. Of course, I'm talking about the adult season.
Yes. Well, we'll get into the children's season in a moment, but let's start with the adult season. Beginning September 7th, that's
this coming Sunday at 4 o'clock, we've got Elmar Oliveira on violin with Robert Koenig piano. And he happens to be the artist in residence at Lynn University.
And in Boca.
In Boca, yes. And he's very excited to be playing on our series. In fact, he's the only American violinist to have ever won the Moscow Tchaikovsky International Violin Competition. He's a beautiful violinist, and he loves what he does, and he's raring to go this Sunday afternoon at 4 o'clock with Robert Koenig.
So you've enticed him to come down from Boca here to thrill us with his talents.
Yes. Well, it didn't take too much enticing. He was raring to go. He loves to perform, and he loves to perform in an intimate, beautiful hall just like Gusman. He loves Gusman Concert Hall.
You've got a great starter with Elmar Oliveira.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Then a very exciting combination, I'm sure. Many South Floridians have already heard Shelton Berg, who is the dean of the Frost School of Music at the University of Miami. He is a remarkably exciting pianist, both in jazz and classical. And I say, don't walk, but run to this concert. Run to all of them, but particularly with Shelley Berg. He just absolutely sets the place afire. And with his enthusiasm.
And who else is going to be with Shelton?
The Bergonzi String Quartet, who is the artist in residence at the university. I can tell you what the Bergonzi are playing. They're going to be playing the Quartet in F by Ravel. And then they're going to be doing some work between the five of them, some jazz and some wonderful classics. Then they go into the magnificent Brahms Quintet in F minor, which is just magnificent. That's the Bergonzi. That's on the 28th. September, which is around the corner too. Then in December 14th, we have a young pianist by the name of Shea Wozner. He's a prominent next generation pianist, and he's enjoying tremendous attention and praise from colleagues and audiences all around the world. Lots of these young people, you know, have received a lot of prestige by receiving the Avery Fisher Grant Career Award, and most of these young people that are playing for us next year are all recipients of this award.
How lovely.
And he's going to be doing something quite interesting, because he is going to be doing the Debussy Preludes, Book 1. And then he's doing a very interesting piece by Claude Vivier, which mm-hmm. is a somewhat of a contemporary piece. And then he's doing Carnival Number 9 by Robert Schumann, which is 21 little pieces without stopping.
That's oh, amazing.
For the whole of the second half. To me, this is just an amazing feat, how anybody can play for like 45 minutes without stopping. But that's exactly what Shea Wasner is going to be doing. And then somebody I really want to talk about and really sing his praises, not that I don't sing everybody's praises, is somebody from across the sea or from across the pond, so they say.
As we say, yes.
Yeah, I say. Do you say that too?
I sure do.
Okay, good. Stephen Isserlis, cellist. And he's coming with a young lady by the name of Connie Shee at the piano. And he's doing some Mendelssohn, Janacek, some Martinu.
And what about, did we go over the fourth concert before that in January?
Oh, no, I didn't. You know, I let that go, and I really, really shouldn't.
Well, you're starting off the new year with a fabulous concert on
January the 4th. Yeah. Thank you for reminding me, and forgive me for letting Iglesias Gutierrez go by, because she's really up and rising and is creating a remarkable career for herself. And she sang for us when she was a young student. And she's coming on January the 4th with a young pianist who lives locally, a guy by the name of George Emilio Rodriguez. And in fact, Iglesias has her Miami operatic debut as Violetta in La Traviata in November with the Florida Grand Opera.
Oh, how nice.
Yes. So we're really looking forward to that. And I know a lot of her Miami friends are anxious to see her. Up close and near, you know, in this beautiful Gustman Concert Hall.
Yes, and a beautiful young woman as well.
Oh, yes.
There's a picture on your website. Of course, you can go to the website.
Oh, thank you.
SundayMusicals.org has the listing of all the concerts that we're talking about. So if you can't remember everything or maybe you can't write everything down, just go to SundayMusicals.org and you can see some pictures, too.
And programs. And you can buy tickets on our web through PayPal. That's really the best way to go. On March 22... It's just 2 weeks after Stephen. We have a young violinist. He's the most significant young artist of his generation. I'm looking forward to him very much. 25. He holds a Bachelor of Art from Harvard. He again was awarded the A.B. Fisher Career Grant Award when he was 17. And the Kansas City Star said he is in a league of his very own. So I'm looking forward to seeing him. And then a very interesting, more than interesting, Paul, is I think it's quite unique. We're going to have a Holocaust Remembrance Concert, Lest We Forget, on March the 31st, some beautiful music that was written by some of the Holocaust inmates at the camp that has been rescued and is going to be played by four quite wonderful young musicians, Misha Wittenson and Michael Klotz, from the Amine String Quartet, Alon Goldstein and Amit Pellet on cello. And they may be playing also some music like from the Nigun, or maybe from the the Kol Nidre. Spiritually, it may not fit, but musically, I think it does. And it's going to be very uplifting. It won't be drab or morbid or unhappy. It'll be really quite uplifting and inspiring.
That's a beautiful tribute.
Yes, I think we have to remember what happened in the past so we don't make the mistakes in the future.
Very well said.
Thank you. And then finally, another young violinist. We've got a lot of strings, a lot of fiddlers next year. And I have to say that the gentleman that's going to be playing with Giora Schmidt is the pianist that accompanies Itzhak Perlman on all his recitals, a guy by the name of Rohan de Silva. And he, again is an Avery Fisher Career Grant awardee. So it's a really very exciting season. Come this coming Sunday when we've got Elmar and Robert Koenig to please and delight you, and we'll make a big fuss of you all.
Well, you've really outdone yourself once again
well,
with a wonderful season for the adults, and definitely go to the website sundaymusicals.org
exactly.
to get the entire program. Now, let's touch briefly on the children's series, because this has been going on 23 years.
Yes.
And tell us a little bit about the children's series and what's coming.
We have six exciting concerts. They're all very different. We start on October 26th with Twin Troubadours. They call themselves Gemini. We call it Double the Pleasure Halloween Concert. We recommend that everybody wears their Halloween concert. Excuse me, their costume.
Yes.
To get in tune for Halloween, which is just a few days later. And we do this one in collaboration with Festival Miami. So all tickets for this concert have to be purchased through the Festival Miami ticket office. We only have a 5-concert subscription season next year, which we do anyway because we do all our first concerts with Festival Miami.
Very
they say
nice.
They want to do children's concerts, and they only want to do them with us. So that's wonderful for us. We love working with the folks at Festival Miami. And then in November, we do Peter and the Wolf, which we always do. Everybody seems to enjoy it and love it with each passing year. And then we have a brand new show called the Kazoo Be Kazoo Show with Rick Hubbard. We're going to distribute 600 kazoos, 600 because the hall holds 600, and everybody's going to be in the Kazoo Be Kazoo band. And then we have the Cleveland duo with a guy by the name of James Umbel, who is a saxophonist, and Caroline and Steve Warner are members of the famed Cleveland Orchestra. And we're calling this one Strings and Things. They're going to delight children as they travel musically through Europe and around the world, bringing music from around the world to the children here, right here in Miami. And we have a very young, special young guest violinist who is busy practicing as we speak.
Oh, really?
Yes. Oh, yes. He's from the Miami area, and he's going to play with these wonderful world-class musicians. And he's working very hard.
Well, isn't it great to expose children
yes.
to the
yes.
music very early and
yes.
and then to see someone as young as this gentleman joining
he's,
in?
He's 9. And, you know, I always find, Paul, when you bring a young musician on stage, that the audience, shush, you can hear how intent they listen to them. They pay respect to someone of their own age because I think they can appreciate what's going through this young man's heart.
And maybe they can see a little bit of themselves, you know, wow, he's not too much older than I am.
That's exactly you know? Right.
Yeah.
In May, we have the Miami City Ballet Dancers in a concert called Shall We Dance? We do this every year. Children love it. They wear their tutus and their dancing shoes.
Oh, how nice.
Yes. And believe it or not, we give away as many dancing shoes as we possibly can that have been collected by the dancers because, you know, they wear about 2 pair of slippers at every performance.
Right.
So Deanna C., who is principal dancer, collects them for us, and we give them away to children who have stickers underneath their seats.
Oh, I love that.
Yes, everybody, as many people as possible get a ballet slipper.
Oh,
and
that's a memory that the children will always hold with them, I'm sure.
Oh, absolutely,
yeah.
Absolutely. And then again, you know, when the dancers are dancing, they're so close to the audience. You don't get that in larger auditoriums or theaters or centers. Do you know what I mean, Paul?
Absolutely. You have that.
You can touch them. And then finally, June 6th, we have Matthew Sabatello and the Rambling String Band in a show called Ballad of America with traditional folk songs that tell the story of the United States of America from early colonial times all the way to the 20th century. And I love this because featured instruments include banjo, fiddle, guitar, mandolin, washboard, and spoon.
All the essentials.
Very, very right. And then, you know, we have an ABC party.
And what is that all about?
That's apple juice, balloons, and cookies. Everybody gets apple juice, balloons, and cookies after the one-hour concert. We have a musical instrument petting zoo, courtesy of Allegro Music Center in Coral Gables. And we're also going to hopefully bring in a 5-foot Steinway baby grand so the children can see the workings of the inside of a piano. And we're going to have that brought in the day of the concert, hopefully. We're going to do that for the first time this year, courtesy of the Steinway Piano Gallery in Coral Gables.
Oh, well, many thanks to them.
Yes.
And many thanks
to everybody.
Yeah, and I want to thank you too, Doreen,
for
joining us again on South Florida Arts Beat.
Well, thank you for the opportunity. I really appreciate it very, very much.
And we'll all go to the website, sundaymusicals.org, to find out more information. Again, Doreen Marks, the executive producer of Sunday Afternoons of Music, thanks for being with us.
Thank you so much, Paul.
Next on South Florida Arts Beat, we enter the world of nightmares with Ghost Stories, a haunted house coming to Miami. Stay with us. We'll be back after this.
At 1:30, it's South Florida Arts Beat on 91.3 WLRN. Good afternoon. Coming up at 2 o'clock.
Now that you know who the candidates are, will the voting machines work? I'm Ira Flatow. Join me on Science Friday as we check on the latest voting machine glitches, plus where the candidates stand on biomedical issues, and as more hurricanes head our way, will the levees continue to hold up? That's on Talk of the Nation from NPR News.
Talk of the Nation Science Friday in half an hour. That's at 2 p.m. here on 91.3 WLRN.
Welcome back to South Florida Arts Beat. I'm Paul Leary, sitting in for Ed Bell. Adding considerable excitement to South Florida's very edgy entertainment scene is the announcement of Nightmare, Ghost Stories, New York's most horrifying haunted house and its very famous interactive experience. This event has been scaring record-breaking crowds of very happy ghost seekers in Manhattan's Lower East Side for the last 4 years. It will premiere here in Miami on Thursday, September 25th, running through Sunday, November the 1st, at Soho Studios in Wynwood. South Florida Arts Beat welcomes Timothy Haskell, the producer of Nightmare, to tell us what it's all about.
So Nightmare is three events. The main event is Nightmare Ghost Stories, which is the main haunted house. There's also Nightmare Old School, which is a smaller haunted house, and Nightmare Mortuary, which is, or it's actually just called Mortuary, which is sort of a 4D funeral experience. But Nightmare Ghost Stories is a non-traditional haunted house in the sense that it's a walk-through haunted house that a lot of people have experienced in their life at some point, but it's got a theatrical bent to it. In Ghost Stories, you start off by becoming part of the infamous hitchhiker ghost story where a driver meets a little girl or a young woman who's going to her prom or homecoming or something and later discovers that she was dead and has been replaying this scenario for like 30, 40 years. And you become part of that story by being hit by the original car that killed the girl as well as you. And then your journey begins into a world of ghost stories. Each room is a different ghost story that's either sort of in the ghost story lexicon or is part of the online poll that we did asking people to share with us their personal ghost experiences and us theatricalizing them in this haunted house. But you go from room to room, and there's a little event that happens that you either witness or have happened to you, and it's all designed to really scare the living daylights out of you, as well as have sort of an empathetic attachment to some of the characters. There's actually a through line in this haunted house, which is somewhat unique, and that you follow one character from room to room, trying to get out of her living ghost story. Each room represents a different kind of ghost. There are dozens upon dozens of ghosts, that ghost seekers have identified, and we try to capture 17 of them. Each room has a different ghost quality.
And it really sounds like you're part of this experience. Talk about interactive. This is what it's all about.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it's a completely visceral experience. I mean, one minute you think you're watching something terrifying happen to someone else, and then you realize it's happening to you. Things like... there's a big truck that barrels down on you, and at first it's going to hit this little girl, but then it seems like it's coming at you. There are moments where you actually have to go down into a pit of things that you don't know what, and things pop out of it at you, and there's spinning vortex tunnels, and it's quite, I don't know, physically connected to the patron.
Well, I was going to ask, I mean, when you say, a truck is coming and you think it's going to hit this little girl, but it's actually coming for you, describe, I mean, is this on a television screen? Is this an actual piece of the set?
No, we actually have a rigged truck system, and that they're watching this character in front of you, but then you have to turn the corner to get a good view, and then what you see is a truck was coming at her. Now it's like right in front of you because it's coming down a wind tunnel. No, we actually have a real. There's no video in this room. It's an actual truck effect, I'll say. Obviously, it stops short of actually hitting you.
You know, one of the things that comes to mind is, of course, up there in Disney World, we have that old school sort of haunted house,
the
haunted mansion. But this is not a ride. This is something where you're actually walking through a house.
You're on foot. Yeah. I mean, you go at your pace. You go at the pace that your fear will allow you. I mean, as fast as people ask me, how long does it take? Well, I'm like, well, it can take anywhere between 15 minutes and 35 minutes. I mean, there's actually lots of maze-like corridors that you can actually get lost in, which is sometimes a detriment to our flow. but we do want it to feel like you're really this is you and the house versus the house, and we don't want it to quite feel as safe, although it is completely safe, but we want there to be an element of danger that I believe will add to the emotional experience that you will have.
Do you have age restrictions for something like this?
Well, nor would we want to legally keep anybody out, but it is pretty scary. That's the main thing we have to tell people. It's not for families. It's not designed towards children. Now, I could say, well, no one under 10. We technically say that no one under 12, it's not recommended for anyone under 12, and that we absolutely will not let you in if you're under 7 years old, even though that's pushing it. But there are some parents that come in, and they're just like, no, my kid loves horror. He collects horror magazines. He loves roller coasters. He does this, and this. And they're like, I'm more scared than he or she is. And, so it's really hard for me to disagree with what the parents think their children's tolerance for this stuff is. But it's usually they're right. I mean, it's very easy to see when a child cannot handle the house, and no matter what. Because we tell you, through this interview and through our advertisement and our website and everything, that it's not designed for children. You really do need to know the threshold for what your child can handle. So, if they go and they can't do it, it's like, it's on you. But if it's under 7, I'm pretty sure across the board there's no 7-year-old that will not cry.
Well, this it's billed as New York's most horrifying haunted house. So you've had an excellent run in Manhattan.
Yeah.
And is that where you got a lot of the stories or the interaction to create the
initially, yes.
Event?
I mean, we've become somewhat of an institution in New York, and every year we do an online poll, and every year the house is different. This Ghost Stories is what we did is a new and improved and more sophisticated version of what we did in New York last year. This year in New York, we're doing one called Bad Dreams, which is based on a poll that we did during Ghost Stories last year about people's recurring nightmares. And then we're going to do something like that on both websites again. And this time actually incorporate Miami's ideas. But every year we have a poll about what the next year's house is going to be. We get answers. We ask for them people's experiences and their stories. I decide on the theme, and then we pose a question that will help us gather information regarding that theme. And, so we did ask people for their personal ghost experiences. In the past, we've asked people for, again, their recurring nightmares, the things that they fear most, their phobias. Every year we ask people to share with us the things that, in different ways, scare them the most. and we try to create houses based on them.
It sounds like a really, truly unique experience, much more than your classic walk-through haunted house. It's Nightmare Ghost Stories, opening Thursday, September 25th, running through Sunday, November 1st at Soho Studios on First Avenue in Wynwood. You can go to the website for more information, nightmaremiami.com. I want to thank Timothy Haskell, the producer of Nightmare Ghost Stories, for being on South Florida Arts Beat.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
Coming up next on South Florida Arts Beat, we check in with Andy Newman with exciting Florida Keys events and humorous Buzz Fleischman.
20 to 2. It's South Florida Arts Beat here on 91.3 WLRN. Good afternoon. The WLRN Community Advisory Board will hold its regularly scheduled meeting Thursday, September 11th, 12 noon, at the Anna Brenner Mayers Educational Telecommunications Center. For more information, please visit our website at WLRN.org.
A special thank you to our Circle of Friends members, Mr. Steven Berger, Dr. Lane and Mr. Tim Hills, Commissioner Katie Sorensen, and the Cater family, Janet, Barr, Sarah, and Kate. Thank you for your generosity to WLRN.
Welcome back to South Florida Arts Beat. Paul Leary with you, sitting in for Ed Bell. Time to head to the Florida Keys, as we do on South Florida Arts Beat. We speak with Andy Newman from the Florida Keys and Key West Tourism Council and see what's happening in the Florida Keys. Andy, welcome back to South Florida Arts Beat.
Paul, it's always great to be on the show.
Tell us what's happening in the great Florida Keys.
Well, I'll tell you something, Paul. You know, of course, Labor Day has come and gone, and I guess the kids are back in school. But you know something? Summer in the Florida Keys doesn't end until we say it ends, and it's not over yet. And so because of that, we have this great summer value-added program that is continuing pretty much until October 15th, and we have more than about 125 different types of opportunities for cost savings vacations, and the various value-added deals range from snorkeling trips to hotel stays, to even a very unique opportunity to have free admission to a drag show in Key West.
I love it. Let's hear all about it.
Well, I tell you what, you can go to, you and all the other South Florida Arts Beat listeners can go to the Florida Keys website to get specifics. And, of course, the Keys website is at flakeys.com. But I'll tell you something, some great opportunities to travel down in the Keys for the next couple of weeks and some really good events coming up.
And I love your website because it has a calendar that lists everything by date, all the information, the phone numbers and email. So definitely go to that website, flakeys.com.
Let's talk a little bit about what's coming up, Paul, here in the Keys in September and even a little bit beyond. First of all, September 18th to the 21st, I'll tell you something, this is an event that has really grown in popularity over the last 36 years. It is the annual Key West Poker Run, and it involves some 10,000 bikers that traverse the entire Florida Keys Overseas Highway through Key Largo, Alamorada, Marathon, Big Pine Key in the Lower Keys, and then ending up in Key West. And they draw at each stop in each of the primary keys. The riders actually draw poker cards, and then whoever has the best hand once you get down to Key West wins. But I'll tell you something, there's a wonderful charity cause to this. The event is organized by Peterson's Harley-Davidson and also the Key West Sunrise Rotary Club, and it benefits the Diabetes Research Institute and the Sunrise Rotary's local charities and scholarship funds. People can register right now at different Peterson Harley Davidson locations in Miami, or also you can get online, and the Keys website has a link for that online registration.
So the next event on the calendar is Ladies Let's Go Fishing. I want to hear all about this, Andy.
Well, I'll tell you something. There are a lot of us men out there, and you're talking to one of them, quite frankly, here, Paul. That love to fish, okay? And there's a lot of, either girlfriends or wives that would probably like to go fishing as well, but the problem is, and I know this happens when I get my wife on my little boat, you know, we get out there, and I like to troll and fish for dolphin, mahi-mahi, and sailfish, and other types of pelagic species, and my wife's not really wild about it, and, you know, maybe it's because she just needs to learn a little bit more, and, yeah, you know, when she's fighting a fish and she messes up, you know, I tend to yell a little bit, but Ladies Let's Go Fishing is billed as the No Yelling School of Fishing. Okay, and it's September 19th to the 21st in Isla Mirada. I'll tell you something, they go through all types of techniques, rigging, tackle techniques, how to fight a fish, how to gaff a fish, even a little bit of boat handling skills here. It's a great opportunity for women to learn how to fish. Now, one of the more unique things, okay, is that in one of the demonstrations of how to fight a fish, they actually have a man that jumps in the pool and plays the role of the fish. So he sort of gets hooked up, quote-unquote. And Benny Bauman, who came up with this idea of ladies, let's go fishing, goes ahead and fish and actually fights the man. And the man this year, by the way, happens to be a gentleman by the name of Larry Kahn, who is the editor of the Keynoter. And he's going to play the role of the fish. And so Benny, I'm certain will successfully land Larry, and a good time will be had by all.
You're definitely giving us an excellent visual in our mind for this one.
Absolutely. And, you know, the really neat thing about Larry Kahn is that there are very few people in the Keys that know more about fishing than Larry Kahn.
I thought you were going to say there were plenty of people in the Keys that want to wrestle Larry.
Possibly. There probably would be a lot of people in the Keys that would want to fillet Larry.
Well, as we move right along here, we'll leave that where that is. What's next on your calendar?
Well, September 26th through the 28th, that weekend there, if you're into birding, if you're into wildlife, then you've got to attend the 10th annual Florida Keys Birding and Wildlife Festival based out of Marathon. Now, this is a great opportunity for those nature enthusiasts to get acquainted with some of these unique birds and wildlife that are native to the Florida Keys. It's a family-friendly event, Paul. It's to be staged at a quiet oceanfront preserve of Curry Hammock State Park, which is located right near mile marker 56 in Marathon. And there's other assorted field trips that are scheduled throughout the entire Keys. There's seminars, obviously, you know, bird watching trips, and an opening reception on the 26th of September at the Marathon Garden Club. So all types of opportunities to learn about some of those unique avian species that are indigenous to the Florida Keys. Again, Paul, more details on the Birding and Wildlife Festival at flakeys.com.
And your website is a great resource to find out what's happening, and you can even do a search on the location for everything that's happening in a particular key or all the Florida Keys, so definitely.
And of course, very, very important for those coming in from the Miami, Fort Lauderdale, West Palm Beach area, an opportunity to search out accommodations directly on the website as well.
It's perfect. Okay, we're moving right along as we get down to our last couple of events here. What's next?
Well, you know what? I guess when you're talking about the Keys, you know, the Florida Keys are home to the most sport fishing world records in any part of the globe. And so it's not unusual that we're going to have another fishing event that we're going to talk about, and that's going to be the Isla Mirada Sport Fishing Festival. And the Isla Mirada Sport Fishing Festival is set for the very last weekend in September, September 26th through the 27th. And, Paul, Isla Mirada has a very, very rich sport fishing heritage. I mean, you know, we're talking about people like Ted Williams, okay, and, you know, that just love to fish in the Keys and have based out of Isla Mirada. The legendary former NBC announcer Kurt Gowdy really just loved to come down to Isla Mirada to bonefish and so many other angling greats that have fished out of Isla Mirada. And so this Isla Mirada Sport Fishing Festival actually began back in the 80s, and it's had a hiatus for the last 10 or 15 years, and some folks are going to bring it back based at Robbie's of Isla Mirada at mile marker 77.5 and presented by Chica Lodge and Spa. And we have an ESPN Outdoors Family Fishing Derby tournament. There will be a live auction of art and sport fishing merchandise. all types of seminars to learn a little bit about some of the unique fishing techniques in the Keys, including daytime sword fishing. Also an opportunity, it's a driver's license number match game that will provide the winner an opportunity to win $50 a week in gasoline for a full decade. And that's a pretty good prize, if you ask me.
Well, if you ask me, that's an excellent prize in these days, huh?
Absolutely.
A decade of gas. I don't even want to imagine what that could be.
For your car, for your boat, for your motorcycle, or for your lawnmower.
Well, Andy Newman, what else do we have to wrap up this great list of so many wonderful things that are happening in the Florida Keys?
Well, we are obviously, you know, and eventually summer is going to be over. And when summer is over, fall, of course, begins. And when you're thinking about fall in the Florida Keys, you've got to talk about the granddaddy of all events. And, of course, that's Key West Fantasy Fest. And we'll talk a little more next month about Fantasy Fest, Paul, but just to give a little preview.
Please,
here,
leave us with a little something.
This year marks an election, a national election. We're going to have a new president. So, Fantasy Fest theme, of course, has to celebrate. And this year's theme is pirates, pundits, and political party animals. All starts Friday, October 17th. Through Sunday, October 26th, 10 days of masquerade balls, quirky costume contests, and of course it all climaxes with the glittering Captain Morgan Fantasy Fest Parade. Saturday, October 25th on Duval Street, we are expecting some 60,000 revelers to be in Key West for that grand parade. And again, Paul, more details on Fantasy Fest, on all these other events at FLAKeys.com. And Paul, we expect to see you down for Fantasy Fest. Now, what's your costume going to be?
Well, let's just say it might be a cross between a pirate and Liza Minnelli. I'm not sure.
But it's an election year. We want to see something from a political aspiration standpoint.
Okay, a cross between Liza Minnelli and Hillary Clinton.
Perfect.
Andy Newman with the Florida Keys and Key West Tourism Council, thank you so much for being on South Florida Arts Beat.
Thank you, Paul.
It's South Florida Arts Beat on 91.3 WLRN. Time now for our humorist, Buzz Fleischman, with the Radio Buzz.
Hi, I'm Buzz Fleischman, and welcome to the Radio Buzz. Quick now, what's the only downer when you go on vacation? Is it packing? Is it paying the bills after your home? Is it finding out that your pet was on eBay and ordered dog toys from Neiman Barkus? If you answered flying there, you're among the many, many air travelers who fly coach, or as the airlines call you, the untouchables. You're cooped up in a small space with strangers, no food, and you don't really know when you'll get out, sort of like being kidnapped, except you pay. Service? You're asked to refold those threadbare blankets you share with the other prisoners and wonder if they were ever cleaned. You pay exorbitant prices to be ferried about like a piece of chattel, not sure you'll get to your destination on time or at all, much like a letter in the post office. Is it safe? Air travel, it is said, mile for mile, is a much safer way to travel than by car, but a car is already on the ground. There was a time when people wore jackets and ties to fly. It was as if everyone flew first class. Now they can fly wearing the same amount of material as a tie. We don't have to remove our ties because there was never a tie bomber. We remove our shoes because someone had something dangerous in their shoe. I'm glad he didn't hide it in his underwear. If you've got the miles, you can count yourself among those who get a seat big enough to fidget in. And guess what? Real food. What they throw you in coach never even qualified for the food pyramid. With enough miles, you're first on, first off. The announcement goes like this. We'll pre-board our first-class passengers, so will our gold, platinum, executive platinum, extreme executive elite platinum, uranium, and all other privileged classes, please, when you're ready, board your aircraft. Need I remind you that with enough miles, you may have a seat on the captain's lap or our board of directors. Honey, even if you get miles from flying around the country selling enhanced cow manure, you're at the top of our heap. Okay, the rest of you line up in a disorganized bunch behind that line. And when I say go, make a mad dash for whatever seats are left and don't even think about using the first-class toilet. Just hold it in till Pittsburgh. Once on board, you're fully screened, scanned, and scoped, and do not have to fear for your safety. You can fear for your safety on the ground right here in Florida. Next time you can afford to enter Disney World, be assured you're safe in their Magic Kingdom. Disney at first refused to abide by the laws of the state of Florida, which said you may carry a gun to work in your locked vehicle. They maintained that they were not under the jurisdiction of those laws. Now they say they'll allow employees to pack heat, but only if they've satisfied all requirements of their parole. So remember, when you have breakfast with Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs, no short jokes. Grumpy has no sense of humor. And if your child goes up to Goofy, kicks him in what look like shins, and he excuses himself for a moment to go out to his car, head for the monorail. And that's your Radio Buzz.
Buzz Fleischman is a humorist and public speaker who also writes for the River Cities Gazette and the community newspapers. You can reach Buzz at theradiobuzz.com. We'll rebroadcast South Florida Arts Beat tonight and every Friday night at 7 p.m. on our WLRN Extra HD channel. You can tune in on your HD radio or go to our website at WLRN.org. Look for the Listen Online at the top of our homepage and click on the WLRN Extra HD button. Next week on South Florida Arts Beat, it's another live performance from our Miami studios. Davis and Dow perform the Great American Songbook with youthful verb and tremendous style. Join us next Friday at 1 p.m. for Davis and Dow live from our WLRN studios. And that's today's edition of South Florida Arts Beat. We hope you enjoyed the show. Ed Bell is our host and producer. Adrian Kennedy is our executive producer. I'm Paul Leary, sitting in as host and producer. Our theme was composed by Mike Levine and performed by Mike and Sam Levine. Thanks to our technical director today, Andy Wagner. And thanks to our contributors, Andy Newman and Buzz Fleischman. Please call us with your comments at 305-995-2258. You can fax us at 305-995-2221 or email info@WLRN.org. We'd like to hear from you. Monday at this time, we'll feature Topical Currents with host Joseph Cooper. Please keep your dial set to 91.3 WLRN, South Florida's NPR News station. Up next, it's Talk of the Nation Science Friday from NPR News. I'm Paul Leary. Make the most of the best and the least of the worst. And from all of us at WLRN, have a great weekend.